think of, but this was one that is absolutely guaranteed. It was Jesus who said this, ask and it shall be, knock and it shall be, seek and ye shall. All right. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 7, that particular verse is on my desk and it needs to be reminded. I don't know if you need to have that in front of you each day or something, or need to have those promises. I'll tell you what, once you get those promises before you and you begin to see that this really is what it's all about. Well, to pray the promises of God. It's because God wrote it. He will keep his word because God cannot lie. Titus chapter 1, verse number 2 tells us that. We've been studying the book of Titus, right? And in the beginning of Titus, we read these verses and it says, God cannot lie. The opposite is the adversary of the devil, and he is the one that absolutely does lie. The devil, our adversary, is the father of lies. And he started it and will continue it until the last day. Go to Revelation 20, verse number 10. I'll tell you what, when you read this verse, and I have it marked in my Bible, and we read this, Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 10, I believe is where we want to go. Hang in there. All right. Yes. Okay. I have marked in my Bible next to this verse, I'll read it, and the devil that deceived them, and he is the great deceiver, he wants to lie to us. All right, but it says there, he was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever and ever. And in my Bible, I have written, goodbye, devil. And if you'd be smart, you'd write it in there too, because that's the end of that great deceiver. He does everything, kids. He does everything, guys. He does everything to try to deceive us into believing that God won't do something. But when you begin to get a hold of the promises of God, I'll tell you what, through prayer, you begin to understand that the devil can't even stand up to it. Jesus said to his accusers, he said in John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil. All right. One of the hardest things he ever said to people. And you know that he talked about the devil more than anybody else. And he said, you are of your father the devil. He's speaking of the Pharisees. He's speaking of those people that they said, it can't happen. The Bible is packed full of God's promises. His word is absolutely true. And when you get hold of them and pray them, we are powerful because God is glorious. I want to read something from this book very quickly here about prayer. This got a hold of my attention. Prayer is the avenue that takes us from the problem to the promise. All right? From doubt to discovery. From the valley to the mountaintop, from discouragement to encouragement, and I tell you what, we need that, from fear to faith, from despair to hope, from lies to the truth, from confusion to wisdom, and from loss to gain, praying God's promises brings life. Pastor Long preaches about life. You have real life in Christ. Peace, joy, and victory in every area of our life. Let's go to the Lord together right now and ask him to bless his word as we look at the promises of God. Our Father, thank you for each one that's made it their business to be back in God's house tonight. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would strengthen us this week. Help us to get hold of another promise and to pray it. Lord, I pray that you will strengthen us and help me to preach this tonight and encouragement to these dear folks here tonight as we embark upon another week. Lots ahead, lots of things happening, and yet we have all in Jesus Christ. I pray that you would bless the word tonight. Help me to stay on course here and focused. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, God's our shield and our defender. The Bible tells us that. He hears us. And David called upon the Lord. One of the greatest promises I think of is Jeremiah 33, call upon me and I will what? Answer thee and show you great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. What great things? Well, I don't know, but you're going to know it. It's going to come. Those things are going to happen. 1 John 5:14, one of the greatest ones that I know of is, and this is the confidence that we have in him. What's confidence? It's know-so. It's absolutely guaranteed that whatever we ask in his name, he hears us. He hears us. What a promise that is. He heals us. One of my favorite promises is found in Psalm 91. Go to it. I'm going to be going to several verses, so I want you to get to them. And go to Psalm 91. And this particular one is just packed full. Psalm 91. And the Bible declares here, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Most of Almighty. What does that mean? Well, he's going to be there. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress and my God, my whom I trust. Surely he will deliver thee. What promises are there? All right, from the snare of the fowler. I don't know what you're going through, what you're going to go through this week, but he says he's going to be there. All right. Noisome pestilence, and he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. But I want you to drop down to verse 15 and 16, because this is just packed full of it, and we could preach on this for this chapter tonight, but I'm not going to. Verse 15 says, he shall call upon me, speaking of us, that's prayer, and I will, what is it, class? Answer him. I will be where? With him in trouble. I will, that's a promise, deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy and show my salvation. You're going through a situation in life. You're going through a trouble. You can call upon the name of the Lord. He is there. He will deliver us. That's absolutely guaranteed. He will deliver us. He will deliver us. Psalm 34. Back a little bit, Psalm 34, some other promises, and then we're going to get to the message. All right, yes, this is just a little bit ahead, but Psalm 34, verse number 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and did what? Oh, my word. What are you afraid of this week? I don't know. Where are you going? What's going to happen this week? He says he will deliver us. He says he was. He answers prayer. Psalm 91, we looked at it, the same. Matthew 7:7. John 14, verse 13 and 14. I want you to look at that one. John 14. Here it is. Go ahead to the New Testament. The Lord Jesus gave us tremendous amounts of promises, and The more you know the Bible, the more you know about him. John 14, verse 13 and 14. And whatsoever shall ask in my name, that will I what? Oh, man. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If, and that really is translated since, that if is not, no, not an iffy, it's a really, it's since you call upon me. Since you ask anything in my name, I will do it. See, I think prayer and praying the promises of God, so oftentimes we don't get on our knees and really grab hold of God and call upon his name because we don't believe that he's going to answer it. We don't believe the promise because we don't know the promises. So I really think we need to. He will give us life. He will draw nigh to us. James chapter 4 verse 8 says that you draw nigh to God and he will do what? And how do you draw nigh to God? Pray, yeah. Read his word. Get together with God's people because God's people is, that's where God is. That's what it's all about. See, that's really it. All right? He will show us supernatural truth. Jeremiah 33, I already quoted that one. And he will meet needs. This is a great one. Go back to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 8. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 8. Known as the Beatitude area of the Bible. And this one says, oh my, look at this. Knowing what? Here it is. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you need before you ask it. Before you ask it. That's amazing. When you read the stories of the great prayer warriors and who's the guy that I can't think of his name. Who's the man that's made the orphanages?
George Mueller.
George Mueller. When you read, and I just finished another book about George Mueller, and I'll tell you, it just is encouraging about his, you know, all the things that he did, and he just knew the promises, and he said, God, you will do this for us. I'm calling upon you, and he did. He believed it. He gives us power over the enemy. James chapter 4, verse 7 says this, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the, and he will flee. But it has to do with submitting ourselves. He does more than we can expect. This is one of the greatest promises, I think, of the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 3, where Paul talks about him doing exceeding abundantly above. Go to it, Ephesians 3, 20. 20:21. This is fantastic. I'll tell you, when you get a hold of these and you read these over and over and over and again, and you pray them. Now unto him who's able to do. Here it is. We just sung it tonight, right? He is able. He is able. I know he's able. Here it is. It's a promise. Now unto him is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. What's that power? God himself living in us. Amazing. And verse 20, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And so be it. I agree. The Bible says he is able to do a beyond. Ever done anything beyond you can imagine? You ever stood back and said, wow, I can't believe that you did that. Never had that happen? I know you have. And why do you say, I can't believe that you did that to God? It's in His word. He promised to do it. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. Now go to this great promise in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Paul, in writing the third epistle to the Corinthians, this is actually third, but I'll not debate there. Okay. It's at the end. Second Corinthians, chapter 1. Go to it. All right. All the promises of God are yea and what? Is that what it says? 1:20. 2 Corinthians 1. For all the promises, how many? What's all mean? All means all, and that's all means, right? Is that right? Okay, you heard that. That's from Pastor, not me. Okay, all means all, and that's all means. All right, are yea and amen unto the glory of God by us. Mm-hmm. Now, all the promises. Now, theologically speaking, and some are going to say, well, what about just the ones that belong to Israel? What about the ones that just are to the Jews only? Well, I believe we can spiritualize and go from there, and we can make some great applications from some of those promises. Will Israel someday step into Jerusalem completely? Yes. Are we going to be there? That's not just a promise for them. That's a promise for us, right? Well, anyways, I'm not going to debate. All right. All the promises. How do you obtain the promises of God? How? How do you get a hold of them? Step by step, there are some steps, and I want to take you through a couple steps. There's five of them. All right. And this is the way that God gives you. It's like the ingredients in baking a cake. All right. I wrote this one down too. It's like getting now Pastor Josh, you know this all the time because you play with them all the time, Legos, right? But if you get a new Lego box, all right, and my grandkids are doing that, and you get a bit Lego box and you open the box and inside there is a paper that says step one, step two, step three. And if you do that, it all goes together, right? It's like baking a cake. You've got to put it in the right order. And so that is really putting together the promises of God. Here they are. Number one, to pray the promises of God, we, number one, need to know the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God. I was introduced to this particular verse many, many years ago when I stepped into Bible school over 40 years ago. I guess it's 40 years, close to 40 years. Stepped into Bible school, and in the front of the auditorium was this verse. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Right? How do you get to know the word of God? Study. Guess what? It's hard work. Yes, it is. It takes time. Yes, it does. But there is eternal rewards to it. And to study the Bible, to study what God said, it's just like studying the book. It's getting the right ingredients. And when you're studying God's word, it is that which is going to be before you. And then I saw these verses. Psalm 19, verses 9 through 11. That's actually Psalm 119. You know the verses. Psalm 119. Go there if you can. while I'm thinking of them. Senior moment came upon me real quick. All right, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word? Thy word have I hid in my heart that the... What does it say there? Thy word. There it is, the promise. But in the middle of those two verses, it says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against God. Yeah, you can debate and say, well, it really doesn't mean to memorize the word of God. But I believe it does. I believe that to internalize the Bible means to get the promises in there and make them a part of you. And how else are you going to know it? Well, when you get hold of that and it gets hold of you, and that's what it's about. That's why we love the preaching of the word. To learn it is to learn life. Wow, it's here and is endless. Step number two, after you study it, then you've got to really internalize it, and that's believe it. Belief really is acting out the truth. This is belief. Reading might just satisfy our mind, oh, yet, but believing what we read is yet more powerful because it builds something which is called faith. Then I was introduced to a verse in the book of Romans. It comes in the 10th chapter. Go to it. Where Paul the apostle was talking about salvation, that if thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, Romans chapter 10, and that whole chapter is just absolutely packed full of it. In Romans chapter 10, as soon as I get there, all right. And verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, there's the promise, thou shalt be saved. Okay, there's the promise. But for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says this, whosoever what? Believeth on him will not be ashamed. Oh, a couple of weeks we'll be bringing boys and girls into this auditorium, and Pastor Josh will be jumping up and down and making all kinds of noise just to get the kids to say they believe it. Run the race. I'll tell you what. And then I kept reading. How shall they call upon him they have not heard? How shall they believe on him they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? How beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel? But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says unto the Lord, who hath believed our report? And then I saw this verse, so then faith comes by, and hearing by what? The word of God. Oh my. In other words, I said, if I just hear the Bible, if I hear the word of God, it is in me, I can hang on to that promise. I believe it. Paul, at that great conclusion of it, says, so then all of this, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For years and years and years, I have been practicing in my study the hearing of the word of God and the reading of the word of God. I have Dr. Alexander Scorby on cassette tape. I still have a tape player. And I play the tapes out, and then they get me new ones because I can get them. All right, but I listen to the Bible, and I read it. And so it goes in the ear gate, and it comes in the eye gate, and it goes into the head. Some way, I believe, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you see, God does keep his word. He absolutely does. He doesn't lie. He cannot lie. Therefore, the Bible declares this from the weeping prophet. We've been studying about that in our senior class. And we've been studying about Ezra. But one of the prophets that really was upset because the nation of Israel had gone astray was Jeremiah. And he wrote these verses in the place called Lamentations. You want to go there? Jeremiah and Lamentations. All right. Large prophet right after Jeremiah. Why was he weeping? He's known as the weeping prophet. He's weeping because people weren't believing it. They weren't believing what God was saying. Jeremiah was saying this in Lamentations 3 in verse 22 through 25. And then I saw these. It is because of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Because his compassions, what? Fail not. They are new every morning. And then I saw the great is God's faithfulness. Wow. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. Wow. Believe it. There's a saying in sports. When they're getting ready to, I don't know, when they're trying to absolutely get some sort of a, I'm thinking of here, if they're doing some task, all right, and you're getting good at it, all right. They say this saying, own it. Have you ever heard that? Own it. Believing it is owning it. It's making it part of you. It's part of yourself. So believe it. Not just read it, but believe it. And number three, receive it. That is to internalize it. Once it's believed, then it becomes something inside, and that is to receive it. Internalize it. On paper, things look good. But when it becomes your own, you have received it. You really have received it. You see, God has that gift for you and I as we receive it as a present. Birthdays are lots of fun. Christmas is lots of fun. All right, when you get a gift, and someone gives you that gift, and you open it, it becomes yours, you have received it. The Bible says this, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to them that call upon them to believe in his name. All right, to receive it is actually doing that. I have lots of illustrations. One of this one is about my kids and my grandkids have introduced me to Toy Story 1, 2, 3. I don't know how many there are. There's five of them, I guess, right? Is there four or five? I don't know what there are. But anyways, Andy, all right. Who's the guy? Who's the kid? Is it Andy? All right. And he's got Woody, right? And one of my favorite things is about Woody is Woody puts his foot up and on his foot is written whose name? Isn't it Andy? So he belongs to Andy. He owns him. Well, God owns you when you trusted him as your Savior. And he stamped your name. Wow. James 1:17 talks about receiving the promises of God. He brings something greater to us, and that is life and life more abundantly. John chapter 10, verse 10 talks about that. When we have life, we have more than enough. And I tried to think about receiving, and then I turned to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Would you turn there, please? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verses 9 and 10. When our eyes are open to greater things, when we believe it, when we receive it, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, help me, Lord, to remember what I was going to say here. All right, here we go. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches the deep things, all the things which are the deep things of God. As God promises come alive through the Spirit of God moving in our hearts and our lives, and we take ownership of it, we really believe and are praying the promises of God. But when you take ownership of them, you're taking them and you're beginning to actually say, that promise belongs to me. And I'm going to claim it because God said it, and I'm going to believe it. Which takes us to fourth step. And that one is to personalize it. To receive it, and then to personalize it. When God takes his word and brings it to us and we individually personalize it, it's like a personal management or a pen that has the name stamped upon it and it becomes yours, all right? You make it a personal. People make all kinds of pictures. And when they personalize them, you get yourself into that particular picture. People make lots and lots of pictures. But when you begin to see it as yours and you're owning it, you're personalizing it, such as Christ died for me. Yes, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But you put your name in there, and oftentimes we do that with children, we do that with people. We say, you put your name on that. And that's praying the promises of God. When you receive it, when you personalize it, and then it's saturated into your heart and into your mind and to your life, praying the promises of God. And then I was introduced to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Would you go there, please? We're in 1st, and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. These promises and these words absolutely bring it home. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 7. And the Bible says there, for we walk by what? And not by what? I'm a visual guy. And it's so hard to go from seeing and not seeing, seeing and believing. Listen to some time about Fanny Crosby and the words that she wrote, Faith is the Victory, all of the hymns that she wrote, and yet she could not see. You see, we walk by faith and not by sight. God will absolutely lead us every step of the way. Why? Because the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He will direct your path. Trust in the Lord. And that's when 1 John chapter 5 really comes true. So go to that one real quick. 1 John chapter 5. Right after I got saved, one of the verses that I was pointed to was getting that assurance of my salvation. And then I saw this. And this, 1 John 5:14, is the confidence that we have in Him. How confident are you in God? How confident? That's the promises of God. And the answers will come. That if we ask anything, He wants to hear from us. He wants to hear. And we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of Him. Mark them off. Go through the Bible. Find them. The answers will be absolutely there. Some time ago, I had the privilege of watching, and I'm going to quit, privilege of watching War Room. And I think the ladies saw this. It was a story about people, a young couple were having difficulties, and the lady got really, really down and out, and she founds another lady who began to pray specifically. And one of the things I saw from that was that she went into this room and wrote down names and promises and things about people. And I think one of the most encouraging things I saw about that was the fact that when answers to prayer come, she would raise her hands and say, Hallelujah, God, You did it again. You did it. Devil, You're done. And I'll tell you, that's encouraging. You see, because believing is receiving. How can we pray the promises of God? You got to know the word. You got to know God's words. You got to read it. You got to internalize it. You got to believe it. You've got to receive it. You've got to personalize it. And then we need to pray the promises of God. Wow. I'll tell you, this isn't finished. There's much more. And I'm not done with the book yet because you can't have it until I'm done with it. But there's lots more there. And it goes through all of the promises, and when you begin to get a hold of them, your life is going to change in a greater fashion. Your life is going to change. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages, let His pages ring. Glory to the highest. I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Right? All right. I've held you too long. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for the promises of God that are there. Help us to know them. Learn them. Understand them. Live by them. And see You answer them. Oh, what joy there is. Give us a good week, dear Lord. Help us in our work and our responsibilities to give glory to God, and then stand on the promises of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.